This is WGRE 91.5 FM, Greencastle, Indiana.
Good evening and welcome to Music for Life, Music from DePaul. This week, we chat with vocal major Claire Wilkinson about the senior recital. Members of the percussion ensemble come in to tell us about their concert next week. Student producer Matt Skiba interviews jazz ensemble pianist Jennifer Peacock about their upcoming concert. We check out some gems from the producer's vault. And celebrating their visit to DePaul this week, we talk to members of the world-renowned Canadian Brass Quintet. There are lots of exciting things going on in the DePaul School of Music, and we're glad you could join us for Music for Life. On Thursday, April 18th, in Thompson Recital Hall, we will have a performance of the DePaul University Percussion Ensemble. And here to tell us about that performance are two longtime members of the Percussion Ensemble, Andrew Bosomworth and Josiah Rushing. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
Good to have you guys here. Thanks for coming in. So what's on tap for this concert?
Well, one of the larger pieces we're playing is by Alexis Bacon, three pieces in Brazil. And so there's a lot of influence with Brazilian culture and also about the history of Brazil and certain icons.
Great.
In their culture.
So. What else on the program?
We're playing a piece by Josiah Rushing, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop for free percussionist and alto saxophone. Beth King will be joining us.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And when did you write that? Is that new?
This was a project for our composition class this past semester.
Ah, fantastic. So. And you have another new work on this program, don't you?
Oh, that's the Alexis Bacon.
Oh, the Alexis Bacon.
Yeah.
Yes,
we are premiering that one.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the world premiere. Right.
Yes.
And anything else?
John Cage's Second Construction.
Ah.
Two Bach fugues as well.
And a piece by James Romig. It's a trio for woods, metals, and skins.
Fantastic. So how many members are there in the percussion ensemble for this concert? Total. I know you all don't all play at the same time, some, but how many total members are there?
Well, students, four.
And faculty?
Two.
Wow. I'm always amazed by your concerts, both by the level of performance, that you guys are really very well prepared, and they're always quite a polished event, but also the vast number of things any one of you will be called upon to do in a single performance. So how many instruments are you guys playing on this thing individually? How about you, Andrew? Have you ever stopped to count?
I try not to. It's a little overwhelming. I know for the Bacon, I'm playing timbale, snare drum, and marimba. Probably I'm not playing more than 20 instruments for this concert, which is actually kind of unusual.
Yes. Now, isn't that kind of funny that we just said, I'm not playing more than 20 instruments, as if, you know, anybody else who plays their entire career on a single instrument. But you ask a percussionist, they're like, oh, this is an easy concert. I've only got 20 instruments to cover.
Yeah.
And so what about you, Josiah? Are you all over the map this one?
Or
are you?
It's about the same, probably about 20-ish instruments.
Right. So. You know, a question that I've gotten throughout my career when people are asking me about the percussion ensemble is, do they actually practice the setup? Mm. And you do. Mm-hmm. You spend a lot of time. You know, we would never have to. Right. You know, as a trumpet player myself, I would never think, you know, I just walk out with a trumpet. That's one thing. But you guys really have to think about, okay, this instrument goes here and this one there. And
yeah.
Table's here. Yeah. Mallets are on this one.
Yeah, you spend time actually thinking about how you array the instruments, where your mallets are, how much time you have to pick this instrument up or these mallets for that instrument. It's really quite a production. I mean, one of the great things about percussion ensemble concerts are that they're visual as well as are. So do you have a favorite piece, other than Josiah's, because we know that, of course, Josiah's going to be great. But is there a favorite moment in this piece, Andrew? Is there something that you really like about this concert?
Let's see here. I've actually, the Bacon piece has grown a lot. It's a very abstract piece, but it's a very approachable one because it has a lot of really nice imagery in it. That piece has really grown on me. Me and Josiah are doing a jazz tune called Big Noise from Winnetka, which is a historic bass drum set, but surprises, the bass is actually timpani.
Very cool. Yeah, there's also a real spectrum of different styles that you guys always put on. How about you, Josiah? Something you're looking forward to in this one?
I'm looking forward to actually having a composition performed, and that's kind of a new experience. I never really thought of actually being able to do that, and I'm really excited about Andrew and I having a moment to interact directly in the performance, because there's going to be a lot of interaction in the Winnetka piece, so I'm really excited
now,
about that.
Are there common composer percussion performers? Are there some that are the composers of their own work in the percussion world?
Yeah.
And who are some of the big ones of those?
Well, one is Nebojša Jovan Živković. Mm-hmm. He's actually Slavic, but he lives in Germany. But he writes a lot of percussion music and often plays it himself, especially mm-hmm. marimba solo work and also marimba with percussion accompaniment.
And I got to sit in with a lesson with you yesterday, and you were doing a really interesting work. What was the name of that?
It's called Touché by right. Vinko Globokar.
And he's still alive, and he mm-hmm. performs his own work as
right,
well.
Right.
And that's really challenging work because it's spoken percussion.
Right.
So you guys are always on the cutting edge. Percussionists are always on the cutting edge of great things happening in music. And this concert coming up on Thursday, a fantastic performance. The audience will be thrilled by this because of the level of the performance, because it's a phenomenally polished group, but also the amazing display of styles and instruments that you'll see on the stage and have the opportunity to hear. And we're looking forward to it and glad you guys could come in and take a moment to chat about it. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
From the Student Recital Hour of April 10th, 2013, flutist Josh Levine, oboist Kate King, clarinetist Marion Hillebrand, bassoonist Gwen Eberts, and French hornist Alison Sherrick perform the first and third movements from Charles Lefebvre's Suite for Woodwind Quintet, Opus 57.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Matt Skiba, and I'm a student producer here at Music for Life. I have with me today Jennifer Peacock to discuss the upcoming jazz concert on April 21st at 3 o'clock.
Hi, Matt.
Thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
So one of the things I've heard about the upcoming concert is that Joey Tartel will actually be here with the band. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really exciting. About 3/4 of the rep that we're preparing for this concert are all background music to his solos. He's a really amazing trumpet player. I've heard a lot of his stuff. I'm really excited to meet him. I know he's going to give a lot of really helpful advice to our band.
The music that's being performed with Joey Tartel, besides the fact that he's just a soloist over the band, how is this music different, like the style and such, from what's been played most of the year?
Honestly, a lot of it's been easier for us in a way note-wise, but I think it's going to be difficult when he comes because we're going to basically change who the leader is, in a sense. Because whatever Joey says goes. It's not just what Dan says. I would say that's going to be our biggest challenge. But so far, I feel like we've been doing a pretty good job as a band trying to get the stuff together.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, that's good. And the vibe from the band is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Everybody seems really excited. And the director has really gotten us excited, too.
Speaking of Dan Foster, how have you enjoyed him being here this year?
He has been absolutely amazing. I was new to jazz my freshman year, and I think I've learned more in these past 2 semesters than I really even hoped for. He's been great.
Good, good. Speaking of the most you've learned these past 2 semesters and everything, concerning all the music we've played this year, with the various styles, because that's what Dan Foster really wants to show everybody, is the wide variety of styles in jazz band. What would you find is your favorite thing that you've performed?
I kind of like the bassy style, because I think it shows off the piano in a nice way. And it's been a good chance for me to actually practice doing improvised solos.
And it's something that's definitely been stressed a lot in a lot of the concerts, and there have been a lot of solos.
Yeah, and the fact that he's made us actually write stuff out and give him lead sheets of what we're playing, that's been good.
Absolutely. So looking forward a little bit, with the new director and everything with the jazz band and the way that it's apparently been progressing, what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, this is my first semester being the pianist for the jazz band without having help from somebody else. Because in the past, we've had 2 guys who were really good who would always help me along. And now they're not there. So I'm really looking forward to learning how to do this on my own and getting better at the chords and getting better at the styles and just becoming more proficient in jazz in general.
That's always one of the most fun things about music is you have your mentors that are few years older than you, and then once they pass on to their own things, you kind of take over and get to see what you can do.
Yeah, and even, I mean, Stephen Shannon was our pianist along with me first semester, and he's my age, and he's absolutely amazing. He's going to be back next year, but he'll be on drums, not piano, so yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be a nice little twist on things.
Yeah.
So with the new direction and the new band, well, I mean, every band changes every semester, so this is kind of a new ensemble. You could look at it that way. How do you think this band has progressed since the beginning of the year?
I guess the best way I could put it is that we've actually become a team. We've become a whole unit. I feel like before it was everybody didn't really know what they were doing and they kind of were going in there with a bad attitude. And I feel like everybody now is genuinely excited to go to practice and actually proud of what we're doing. I mean, would you say that you're proud of our progress?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the last concert we put on. The way we were played Big Dipper when we opened the concert, I felt was a huge way to start a concert because it just, everything went so well. Yeah. Solos and the way we were just working together.
And the good thing about Dan is he's strict with us, but I feel like he's very encouraging and lets us know when we're doing a good job. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jennifer, thank you for coming in and looking forward to the concert on April 21st at 3 o'clock.
Thank you. It's so good to talk to you. Everybody come see it.
From the Student Recital Hour of April 10th, 2013, William Johnson, alto trombone, and pianist Wonmin Kim performed the second and third movements of Lars Erik Larsen's Concertino, Opus 45, No. 7.
Thank you.
Rite of passage for every graduating senior in any school of music in America is the senior recital. And the senior recital is something to be anticipated and excited about and dreaded and feared and all of those things rolled together. So here to chat with me about her upcoming senior recital is Claire Wilkinson. Welcome back.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Good to have you on the show again. And yours is right around the corner.
Yes, this next Friday, April 19th.
How long have you been thinking about your senior recital?
Thinking about it ever since I finished my junior recital, solidifying what pieces I'll be singing probably mid last semester, and then beginning to practice those in addition to jury pieces. So the jury pieces for last semester obviously took precedence, but...
So what exactly, for our listeners, what is a senior recital?
So at DePauw, the senior recital has to be between 55 minutes and an hour. And as a vocalist, you have to cover all the basic music history time periods, Baroque, classical, romantic, and then something written within the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then you also have to meet a language requirement. So I have to sing in English, French, German, and Italian. And you go from there and create this puzzle of pieces that you not only... are passionate about and would like to perform, but also meet the requirements to show that you understand all the different time periods and can sing in all the different styles.
And so as you prepare for this, this is all done with your applied teacher in your lesson. And then do you just walk out and perform it one day, or
there are some other steps,
right?
Yes. So you begin working on, you know, song by song with your pianist coach and with your voice teacher. And then eventually you get to the point where you're able to perform them all together from memory. And for me, that was a scarier moment than the jury, which is when the faculty judge whether or not you are prepared enough to perform your recital.
Right. So people aren't aware of this little intermediate step where even before you're allowed to give your recital, you have to perform it for a jury of faculty. That serves a couple of purposes. One, they decide whether or not you're ready to put this on in front of people. And secondly, they give you a lot of helpful comments.
Right. For me, it was a lot scarier doing the run-through the week before the jury, just because I had never performed everything at once. I'd performed 20 minutes of this, 20 minutes of that. So I'd performed large segments in voice studio class, which the vocalists meet once a week with their applied teacher and everyone in their applied teacher studio, and you sing for one another. So I'd performed large chunks, but never all at once.
Right.
And I was thinking, how am I going to remember what order my songs are in and just go? So that was more intimidating. Once I had that under my belt, I felt a lot better about the jury.
And then you came to the jury and did the very same thing where you performed them all in a row.
Yes, yes. And that was, it was intimidating. It went pretty well, like I passed, but the jury is that moment where you realize everything that's still left to do. Yes, you have the music memorized. Yes, you sing it very well. Yes, you have some interpretation. You know what you're singing about. You know your word-for-word translations. But there's still a lot more, and it's a totally new beast because, if anything, I talked to you about the jury a little bit. When you make a little mistake on the jury, you can't fret about the note you just sang. You have to keep singing and keep performing. So that was a new lesson for me in that no, I didn't sing that the best I could have, but it's time to sing the next note.
Right, you've got to keep going. In fact, there's a great book called The Inner Game of Music. It was based on another book called The Inner Game of Tennis. But when this book is presented, it's very funny because as the author comes in to perform, he's double bassist. He's playing double bass, and he has his voice recorded. Mm-hmm. And so he misses a pitch. And suddenly you hear his voice as if coming from inside his head going, you didn't do that very well. And suddenly he's worried about this. And then he messes another
note
up. But
that's what I was doing that self-talk during the jury. Oh, well, that wasn't very good. Instead of focusing on the next note. So that was a good lesson for me. But at least I did that on the jury and not at the recital.
Right. That's a very important skill, because in your jury, that's when you realize that, wow, I just messed that up, but I can't stop and fix it, which I would do if I were practicing or if I were just here with my coach or if I were just here with my... And now suddenly I have to keep on plowing through and I can't let what just happened rattle what's going to happen next.
Right, right. Yeah, so
kind of frightening.
It all works out, but the jury's 2 weeks before the recital.
Right.
And there is a little second chance clause here where if something goes terribly wrong and you don't pass, you could take it the following week. That hardly ever happens, because usually if you don't pass, you probably just... shouldn't have to decide.
Right, right.
So it was a great learning tool. I'm receiving my comments tomorrow, so that will be exciting.
Our show is always recorded the week before it comes out on Sunday night, but your recital, as we are recording this, is 8 days from now. So how do you feel about it 8 days from
I'm
now?
I'm excited. I've been making great strides with my interpretation, with my coach, just having that jury under your belt and thinking, okay, I did this. Mm-hmm. Kind of gave me a sense of confidence and a sense that I could...
You could do it.
I could do it. Yeah. So now I'm in that fun phase where it's just little additional things here and there and making my posters.
So when you get to the recital and you're performing, are you, wow, this is fun and I'm showing what I've developed? Or are you, oh my gosh, this is scary. I can't believe I'm
here. Hoping the first. I'm hoping...
What was it for the
jury?
Recital?
For the jury, I felt the second.
Yeah.
But for my junior recital, I was just really excited to show everyone. And also there's a certain melancholy and just
a
sweet factor,
a wistfulness
about the senior recital. And I have a lot of, I'm from Florida and we have a lot of relatives flying up from all over the country, which they didn't come to my junior recital, but now it's all about me.
Right. So isn't it always you're a soprano?
No, but they're all coming. So that'll be really neat. It's going to be kind of a reunion of all these different people.
And, you know, people in other majors probably don't quite get that because, you know, in a lot of majors, it's pass your classes and do good work and get a degree. But here it's pass your classes and do good work and then do this recital where
on
you show off what you've learned in every other class you've taken during your entire time here.
And it's surprising. I've found that even from last year to this year, there's a really different reception of the recitals within the College of Liberal Arts. Last year, it was like pulling teeth to get people to come to my recital. Mm. This year, when I mention it to any of my friends not in the School of Music, oh, of course, I'll be there because they've seen performances by Thomas Hampson and Yo-Yo Ma. So now they're all really excited about music. And I'm so excited that so many of my friends are able to come this year, and it's
one of the
just
exciting
gonna be really
things.
Fun.
Right, that's one of the great things about having a School of Music and a College of Liberal Arts together, because, and we just had to kind of kick it off. We had to get their interest, and now they're here all the time.
Right.
College
and
of Liberal Arts students.
As of last year, once we started having all these amazing performances, can't keep them away.
Yeah,
so
that's what it should be.
I'm thrilled.
So break a leg.
Thank you.
From the 2011 Concerto Competition Winners Concert of April 10th, 2011, the DePaul University Orchestra and soprano soloist Claire Wilkinson, under the direction of Orsineth Smith, perform Wo die schönen Trompeten blasen and Wer hat dies Liedlein erdacht from Gustav Mahler's Des Knaben Wunderhorn.
Thank you.
From their concert in Kresge Auditorium from April 13, 2013, the Canadian Brass performs an arrangement of the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah.
We are thrilled this week. We've been talking all year long about the visit of the Canadian Brass, and they're here performing tonight at 7:30, and they've been kind to give us a moment in the studio. So welcome, guys. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Chuck, you are the founding father of Canadian Brass, correct?
Well, when you put it that way, I guess it's true. I'm the I was here at the beginning, and I'm still here, so yes.
And you guys have a really busy schedule. You were just last night running out tonight after the concert. Are you guys on the middle of a big tour now?
Yeah, well, actually, we were in Naples, Florida earlier this week, and then last night we were in Anderson, Indiana, and here tonight, and
gone
Fort
tomorrow.
Wayne. Yeah, gone tomorrow. Gone tonight.
Gone tomorrow. Yeah, gone tonight.
And we're in Fort Wayne on Saturday, and then Akron early next week. It basically never stops.
It never stops. And so, Achilles, you're the newest member of the group. How long have you been with them?
About 2 years. About 2 years.
So, oh, is that correct? Who's the newest member of the group?
That's right.
Yeah, great. And you're also a fellow Hoosier here. Welcome back home, right?
It's always good to be back home.
Do you get home very often?
I'd say about a couple times a year, you know, for the holidays or for special events. But even a trip to a part of Indiana where I didn't grow up, it still feels like a trip home. Right? Yeah, the people and the, you know, the environment.
The accent.
Feels very similar. Yes,
and
of course.
And the basketball.
Exactly. Well, basketball. We don't want to talk about that right now. It's a little fresh.
And how many nights a year are you guys performing?
Well, that's a good question. I think it probably ranges around 60 nights, and then we're also doing recordings, a very active recording schedule. And now in the internet and iPhone era, we're doing a lot of video recordings.
Right.
So this takes time, of course, and lots of energy. So.
Well, you know, I'm one of the oldest people in this room, and I have to say that I have been a big fan of the Canadian Brass since I was young, too. So that shows you just how old Chuck really is. I mean, I've been following you guys for quite some time. I've been able to book you many times in the past. We're so thrilled that you could join us at DePauw, and we really appreciate your coming in to just say a few words here. And maybe we could get you to just play one little something for us. Could you do that?
Perhaps, yeah. Actually, we did come with our instruments, and we've been just finished recording an album called Canadian Brass Takes Flight.
Is that available yet?
It is available, actually. Those that aren't with us in the studio can't see this, but there are students out there buying them right now.
All right.
We won't tell you what the special price was for them. And this is a very special arrangement that Brandon did just for us and just for this recording project, and it's Flight of the Bumblebee.
Oh, fantastic. Looking forward to it. Bravo. Thanks, guys. That's the Canadian Brass live on Music for Life.
From the concert of April 7th, 2013, concluding distinguished DePauw alum Joseph Flummerfelt's residency, DePauw Chamber Singers and University Chorus, soprano Emily Barnash, mezzo-soprano Elika Okerstrom, baritone Eric Erlandson, organist Carla Edwards, harpist Harriet Moore, and percussionist Josiah Rushing, under the direction of Dr. Flummerfelt, performed the finale from Leonard Bernstein's Chichester Psalms.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Music for Life. We love hearing from listeners. You can contact us by emailing musicforlife@depauw.edu. Our student producers are Adam Luman, Anna Gatdula, and Matthew Skiba. Our online editor is Veronica Pedrell, and our show is produced and recorded by Matthew Champagne in the Judson and Joyce Green Center for the Performing Arts at DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana. I'm Mark McCoy, Dean of the School of Music. Thanks for listening to our show. Keep music in your life, and have a great week.
It's Music for Life.